course to the right. Now watch this turn. Indicator left down the slope. What a shot. What a shot. Is it? Oh, would you believe that? Rory McIlroy. What a round of golf. It's one outside the Augusta course record.
Hello, welcome to the PFD show, Planning for Show, our 1 year anniversary show. I'm Mark, as usual, joined by Jack, and I think very fittingly for our anniversary show, Nick hasn't turned up, and also I've had a ridiculous amount of technical difficulties as I was starting late, and I'm on my phone, on my computer tonight. Anyway, Jack, hope your day's gone better than my last 20 minutes has.
Yeah, it's been fine, mate. Yeah, happy 1 year birthday to us. Technically we've been doing shows longer than a year. We've been smashing out golf content for about 2 years now, but as a PFD show, we've been going for a year now. So yeah, happy birthday to us there. You've had a few issues tonight, but we're soldier on, and you know, while Nick's sunning himself up and getting a tan and having all the ladies look at him. So yeah.
Well, as he's swimming. So yeah. Oh, look. It's that Olympian in the pool. He's a bit slower than I remember. So not only is this our 1 year anniversary, this has been a momentous week because me and Jack actually met each other in person this week at the UK FFC event, which is a fancy NFL event, on Saturday. And that was a lot of fun. Met lots of people, talked about golf DFS for a bit, even though it was an NFL event.
That's all I talked about, to be fair.
Yeah. Jack had all his fun at the Scottish Bowl the night before. So how did you do? We didn't do a show last week because there was lots of reasons. None of us, I definitely wasn't available. And I think Nick was struggling as well. So how did you last week on DFS?
Yeah, so the previous week before that was Rocket Mortgage. Done very well, cashed all my double ups, few GPPs come in as well for me there. Nothing major, but profit on the week. Last week, I think we all went very light. I mean, me and you spoke to each other at the UK FFCC, as you say. Me and you both went very, very light. I kind of break that down within my attack plan each week, actually. I state in there my bankroll for that week will depend on my feel for the tournament. I don't like the John Deere Classic. I put that up there, one of the worst tournaments on the tour. It was kind to me on the Friday, though, when I was at LIV Golf. So, because I played the showdown, I dropped the showdown core in the Discord, the PFD show Discord. I played that core and someone, it was Straka nuked that day, shot like 9 under par. Mm. I ended up finishing 19th, I think, something like that. I was flirting around with the top five at one point in the showdown. It dropped down a bit, but still a very good week there in the showdown streets. Should just sign up to the Discord. It's completely free. I drop showdown cords in there pretty much every round now. Break down the reasons why and things like that when I can. LIV was going very well. I was going to have a absolute demolition job in that and a takedown, and then Paul Casey decided to withdraw after 9 holes in the last round. Thank you, mate. Which I didn't realise, in LIV golf events, it completely wiped his score for that day that he'd already accumulated. So yeah, cheers, mate. I was on for a right demolition job in that. So yeah, that was a bit annoying, but yeah, very light last week. bad week really at the John Deere, but made up with a decent day on Friday on Showdown. But we're on to a good week this week, so Jack's happy.
Yeah, indeed. I made a very small profit in both weeks, but I was down on my usual volume, and that's partly why. I'm down a little bit of volume this week, just because I'm saving up for next week's open. And talking of next week, Major Kurt Jones from the amazing Run Pure Sports will be back once again. As you know, anybody who's seen him on the show before, Stephanie, I've said it's an adventure. Every week he's on it. And
you think I'm mad.
Yes. And we definitely move up a rating level for like up to an 18 or an R for the Americans. But anyway, he's from Run Pure Sports. And if your timeline is anything like mine, you'll see plenty of people winning with Run Pure Sports at the moment, including Jack. And maybe Kurt will talk to us a bit about Summer League as well whilst he's here next week.
Yeah, maybe. To be fair, I don't. There's a few players that I follow on LIV. I actually went to the LIV golf event on Friday. So there's a few players on there that I followed. I was trying to follow Bryson. I'm a big fan of Bryson DeChambeau, as many people know. I'm a golf nerd myself, so I like what he's done with the swing and tries to overpower golf courses and things like that. I kind of like that philosophy, what he's doing. But yeah, obviously I don't keep an eye on some of these bottom feeders within LIV, like David Puey, who I told you about, Mark, the other week. So I used Kurt's LIV playbook, actually, for that contest that I entered the other day for LIV. And like I said, I would have took the field down. It would have been me at the top, laughing my head off. But Paul Casey decided to withdraw. So, and to be fair to Kurt put in the playbook that it was a risky play. He'd been carrying an injury and things like that. So, you know, I don't blame anyone. That is what it is. As Tambo says in the golf streets, nobody cares, work harder. That's kind of my philosophy now. just get on with it. We move on. It is what it is. But yeah, last week maybe, G'd me back up a bit because I had two close calls, and we're now getting into two events that I really like. I mean, if you'd seen me last year at the Open, I was dancing around my living room on the Saturday evening, winning a lot of money. I still won quite a bit of money at the Open. Didn't quite turn out to what I wanted it to be, but yeah, I mean, for context for people listening, I was sitting 17th in the Millie Maker at one point. So, I was quite excited on the Saturday evening. So I'm hoping I can get that sweat again going this year. That'd be fun. That'd be super fun.
Yeah, I had Paul Casey as well. Like Leo last week, was on for a really decent score and then ended up doubling up. Not in a double up in a GPP, so same for me. But anyway, shall we move on? Should we talk about this week first of a couple of really good weeks, I think?
Yes, let's talk about this week. Just get out the admin quickly. Newsletter, as per usual, will be up tomorrow. My attack plan and the course preview, weather. It might be a weather edge this week. I've already seen some bits and pieces. Tee times. Marked Cup Makers, the Sexy Sixers, bets, the lot. It's all in there, completely free still. Thanks to Danny for a little shout out earlier. Couldn't believe that we're still giving the content away for free, but we are at the minute. Get signed up to that completely free. That'll be out tomorrow and in your inboxes.
Indeed. So here we are up in Bonnie, Scotland this week. I imagine. There's quite a bit to say about this course. It's actually, for a Scottish course, it's a very young course.
Yes, so I'll get into it. So we're heading to North Berwick in Scotland. It's near Edinburgh, for people that don't know North Berwick that well. We head to the Renaissance Club. It's a Tom Doak design. As Mark mentioned, it's a fairly new golf course. It was designed in 2008. Tom Doak, bit of a protege of Pete Dye over in America. He's a bit of a Pete Dye fan, so them two link up quite a lot with redesigns and things like that. It's a par 70, it's 7,293 yards long. Water comes into play on one hole. The water is the sea. So you've got the fairways here are fescue, the rough is fescue, the greens are fescue as well. Like Mark has already mentioned, it is a modern style golf course. It's a modern style links golf course, with its biggest defence being the elements, like most links golf courses are. Like I mentioned earlier, that there might be a slight weather edge this week. There was a big one here last year. If you stacked AM PM last year, you were laughing. It was like a two-stroke advantage from the AM PM to the PM AM last year. So at the minute, to me, it looks like it's a PM AM advantage, but it's Scotland. Scotland has its own climate. I would monitor this right up until lock. Of course, we have the deep pot bunkers, which you find on most links golf courses. They give golfers absolute nightmares. These are sprinkled along the fairways and around the greens, alongside the thick, unpredictable fescue rough, which is guarding the fairways as well. The greens here are quite slow. They also encourage golfers to try and play that typical links-style golf shot where you run a stinger up onto the green rather than sticking the ball like, I don't know, 100 foot up in the air trying to attack it that way. It's a typical style links golf course that way. It wants to encourage the golfers this week to run the ball up. The course last year featured the fifth hardest set of par fours and par fives, but it did also feature the second shortest par threes on the PGA Tour schedule. The fifth hole is a drivable par four, so you expect lots of birdies there to be made. I think the winning score around here is probably going to be about 14 under. And I think the cut's going to be about even par. You will get some birdies. The guys will get lots of chances. But as I've mentioned, the biggest defence of this golf course will be the elements. We need the wind to come and the rain and everything else that Scotland brings usually.
Even though they've only played it 4 years, there's been some interesting results, like one time -7.1, one time -21. Basically, the difference between those two is the wind, as far as I understand. At the moment, I believe it doesn't look too bad, the wind, but we will see. Like you said, it could change in a heartbeat, can't it? So,
yes, most definitely.
Yeah. So, bearing that in mind, bearing the two-faced nature of this course, how have you set up your model this week?
Well, it's a fairly long golf course, like I mentioned. So driving distance, I think it's one of the golf courses that you can overpower. There's a lot of, there's been a lot of rain up in Scotland around this area over the last few weeks and coming into the event itself. So the course is not like that typical style links golf course in the summer where it gets baked out. So I think it's one of the golf courses you could potentially overpower. So I think the guys that are bombing it off the tee are going to have a bit of an advantage this week. I've got strokes gained on the approach, the proximity buckets of 175 to 200 and 200 plus yards. I've got sand saves at 6% there. I will give away my weights on it. I've got sand saves there. Like I mentioned, you've got these deep pot bunkers sprinkled about everywhere. Strokes gained around the green, strokes gained putting on slow greens. I've got putting inside 10 feet as per usual, and I've also got the approach lag putting here. Strokes gained total in windy conditions. I've got strokes gained total in easy scoring conditions and scrambling. A couple of the comp courses I'm looking at. Well, I'm looking at this one, the Renaissance Club and Memorial Park. Jack Nicklaus in the tournament.
Cool. Plenty there for people to get the teeth into. Lots of similar stuff to you. One thing I'm doing a little bit differently this week is I'm looking at the course history here in a more focused way, a slightly different way for the last 4 years, because anything before that doesn't count. So there you go. Yeah. So one of the disadvantages of the fact that I'm using my phone tonight is we can't share our DraftKings screen, so we just have to talk about the players now. I don't think these too bad. I was just watching a Ship It Nation video for this, and they didn't share the screen, so I think we can do this, Jack.
Of course you can.
So let's start in the 10Ks. We've got Scotty, Rory, Xander, and Patrick Cantlay.
We've got Scotty up there at 11.6, which is, wild. He's still getting some ownership currently, by the looks of it. Unsurprisingly, number one player in my model. I've gone back to the usual stuff that I do with the last 32 rounds and things. Now we're coming away from them silly golf courses that we've been on lately. So yeah, unsurprisingly, Scotty Scheffler is the number one player in my model this week. What do you want me to say here? This guy is a green across the board. The only place that he's losing strokes, and we all know it, is with the putter. But he has not finished outside the top 12 since last October. It's an insane run of golf that he's on. The negative, I suppose, if you want to call it a negative, he did miss the cut here last year, but he was 12th in 2021. I might say something controversial here. I think Rory's using this as a tune-up for the Open myself. I hope he misses the cut this week, so his number goes up for betting wise next week at the Open. Rory's actually openly come out this week as well and said that he does not like this golf course. So there's that, which, you know, if you look at the last time he played it was in 2021 and he missed the cut here. I get that Rory's playing quite well, he bombs it off the tee. But whereas Scotty Scheffler, I think Scotty Scheffler wants to win every tournament. I think Rory McIlroy is focused on a major. I actually think he's very live to win next week at the Open, Rory, whatever happens this week. But I just think he's going to use it as a tune-up. Wouldn't surprise me if he finishes around 30th, if he does make the cut. Would not surprise me if Rory misses the cut this week. So Scheffler's my guy up here. I'm just going to stick with him. Play him in cash. Because I mean, the guy's on an incredible run of golf. You can't not play him, and you're getting, at the minute, you're getting an ownership discount off of Rory.
You're actually reminding me of a question I wanted to ask you. As this is for some players a warm-up, is it possible that some players will withdraw during the actual tournament? We've definitely seen that before.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm trying to think what event scope there, sorry. Scheffler not been out the top five since the Byron Nelson last six events. Yeah, it's a ridiculous run. There's nothing I can say to tell people. If you fade him at your peril, put it that way. I'm not fading him, so I don't care what price he is. Back to your question, Mark. I said this at the Rocket Mortgage in the tracker group. I said that a lot of these guys just don't care. They come to these events, use them as a tune-up. Ricky Fowler obviously won there, which was good to see, but someone like Justin Thomas, things like that. People then come at me going, oh, he wants to make the FedEx Cup. I don't really think these golfers give a toss about the FedEx Cup, to be fair. I'm brutally honest with it. The elevated events earn them more money. I really don't think they care about the FedEx Cup. It's not really that important to them. What is important is getting back into next year's elevated events. I get that, but you also have to remember Justin Thomas has won a major championship in the last 5 years. So he'll be guaranteed entry into those events anyway, whatever happens. Sorry, I've gone on a tangent of Justin Thomas.
A little bit, down to the 8Ks.
I'm trying to prove a point that I think some of these golfers come to these events and just use it to tune themselves up, try and find something. Like I said, Rory has openly come out and said that he doesn't like this golf course. What I've seen, recent visits to this golf course, bears that out to me. He doesn't like this golf course. And I think he's just geared up to try and win the Open. I think he is going to win the Open. That's why I want him to miss the cut this week, because I want his number to crash.
So, Rory is my lowest ranked out of the top four anywhere in my model. Happy to fade him this week. But Cantlay's third in mine. Xander sixth. You got no interest in them. You can actually pair them up with Scotty. We won't be able to show that tonight, but you can actually do that.
Yeah, Cantlay's third in mine, Xander's sixth in mine. Xander's obviously reigning champion here. He won the Scottish Open last year, which is great. I was on him last year, humble brag. 16-1, I think. something like that.
Old news.
Yeah, old news, but we was on it, we got it. I like both of them. To be brutally honest, again, green across the board, the guys up here are up here for a reason. They're good golfers in fields like this. So yeah, they rank exactly the same in both of our models. They're green across the board. Can Xander go back to back? I don't know. I bet him. I think he potentially could. I do actually quite like Cantlay here as well. Finished fourth here last year. Bombs it off the tee as well. Again, both these players are green. I've probably got it ranked the same as you. I've got Scheffler, Cantlay, Schauffele, McIlroy.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. So we're the same. We're exactly the same with them guys.
Yeah. But you can, because I actually think there's quite good value down at the bottom, and definitely in an event like this, I think that's the one to sort of take those punts. I think you can play two of them. I think I'd be more than happy to play 100% reliance with Scotty in them and then putting in one of the others. Not sure I will do that, but you wouldn't be too bothered if I had to. But talking about strong range and stuff, I actually think the 9K range is pretty stacked as well. Starts with the Matt Fitzpatrick, then Victor Hovland, Tyrrell Hatton, Ricky Fowler, Tommy Fleetwood, Jordan Spieth, Shane Lowry, and Wyndham Clark. Actually, in my model, the number one player is in here in my model, which is Wyndham Clark.
Unsurprisingly.
How
many rounds are you doing it over?
And 32. And if the wind gets up, he probably goes up to like even higher than one.
Listen, I like him. He was betting odds 40-1. I just jumped on that. I was like, yeah, all right, see you later. I'll bet that. Right, it's fine. I like Wyndham Clark. Nothing against him. Because I'm a bit weird like that. I'm a bit of a bias. If I bet them, I try not to play them in DraftKings because I don't like getting burned by them twice. So maybe I do stay away from Wyndham Clark in this range. Probably because I'm going to kind of do what you do. Again, this will be based on weather. So we're saying this on a Tuesday evening now. I will look at this right up till Wednesday, very, very late. I'm going to kind of do what you do, play Scheffler, probably play Cantlay or Scheffler with him. So the 9K range might be out of my reach, but for cash, I'm just going to play Tyrrell Hatton and Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah,
I don't think you go wrong. Tyrrell's great on Lynx golf courses. He's won the Dunhill Lynx Golf Championship two or three times, I think, actually now. So, and he's been on an insane, absolutely insane run this year. He leads the PGA Tour in strokes gained on approach over the whole year.
Yeah. I mean, you said he's good on links. He's just good in everything at the moment. He literally every type of course.
Yeah. He's been great. He's fourth in my model this week. I love Tyrrell. I love Tommy as well. I just think for cash, I might just lock. I think that's a very good starting point with both of them. You can just lock both of them two in. And both of them should suit this golf course amazingly, really. I mean, Tyrrell's not got the best history here, but I wouldn't say it's bad. I mean, he was 24th last year, he was 18th in 2021. So it's not bad course history. Yeah. And he's a much better golfer right now than what he was last year and the year before that. And then in regards to Fleetwood, I know he let us all down with a miscut last time out, but before that, fifth and second, great course history here as well. He was fourth last year, 26th in 2021, second in 2020. I've got no fears. These two are going to be the highest owned in this range for good reason. I mean, you could probably potentially play three of these guys in this range in cash, I think. And I wouldn't be scared to play Fowler with Fleetwood and Hatton as well for cash.
I think for me, it's more a case of who I wouldn't play in this range. Because I think I can make a case for everybody.
You know mine.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't play Jordan Spieth either. And the other one I'm not particularly interested in is Shane Lowry. I think he'll get more ownership than people are thinking right now because, you know, the old British thing again and stuff. I think people tend to think that only Brits can play in link courses and stuff.
Yeah.
I think I could play. I've actually, you know, spoiler alert, Tyrrell's unsurprisingly in my cut makers this week, but not Tommy Fleetwood, somebody else up here. So you have to sign up for the newsletter or you read that tomorrow to know who that is and why. But there's some great, I mean, you know, you've not even mentioned Hovland and he's, you know, he's on a great run, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So
No, I just the same with Hovland. I think he's just going to use this as a tune-up for next week. I think he's very live next week to win the Open as well, Hovland. I'm going to go back to what I've done last year. I played Rory and Hovland together in my Open lineup last year, and I'm going to do it again this year. Calling it now.
It'd be funny if they're the same price as well.
Yeah. I don't think they were. I think Hoblin was well in the 8Ks last year. Hoblin was in a real bad run. He missed the cut here last year, I think, because I remember Nick playing him and Nick getting. Yeah, he did miss the cut.
Yeah, he did. He's
Nick played him, and then I played him the week after. I jumped on. Oh, everyone jumped off. It was great.
that's the only time he's played it last year and he's missed it. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, again, I can make a case for him. Ricky Fowler's been as good as anybody for the last month or so as well. So, it's a really stacked range, which is for me, in contrast to the 8Ks, because this is, I think, a terrible range this week. Starts with Minwoo Lee, Max Homa, Justin Rose, Sung Jae, Tom Kim, Sam Burns, Justin Thomas, Ludvig Åberg, Adam Scott, and Corey Connors. I don't like this range at all, Jack. What about you?
The only one I like is Justin Rose. He's probably going to draw some ownership at 8,700 there, but he ranks 8th in my model this week. He was 4th last time out, which was good to see. He's been pretty good all year. My one concern with Justin Rose on this golf course would be his driving distance is not particularly up there with the other guys, but I think Justin Rose is quite a sensible golfer who can get it done many ways, and we've seen him perform on links golf before. He can certainly get it done. He's been very consistent this year. I've mentioned it multiple times on the show that I love what he's done with his schedule this year. Spaced it out. I know he missed the cut of the US Open and let everyone down there, but I mean, that golf course just did not suit his eye at all, really. Thinking about it now. But yeah, I'm quite happy to probably get some Justin Rose in my lineups this week. I think it'd be very typical of Justin Thomas to come out here and start playing well. I mean, that price is ridiculous, isn't it? It's going to tempt a lot of
Yeah,
people in.
but if he does start playing well, you could easily see him dropping out third round or something. So I really can. I think for me, I'm happy to play actually Minwoo Lee here, not because he's been a previous winner, because when he won, it was a very weak field, but he's just been in very good form. Five made cuts. He's ranking second in around weighted stroke gains around the green last 32, which we'd expect to be a very important stat here. He's putting well as well. His distance is decent enough, and I've got a bit of interest in Corey Connors as well, right at the bottom.
Yeah, I see. I bet Connors. That's a. I
Yeah, so
bet.
I think but in the middle there, I've just got no interest at all in sort of the middle of that range at all.
I do have some concerns with some of these golfers. Like, I know we're going back up into the 9K range now. Like, why have they never played this golf course before? Like Shane Lowry and Adam Scott's another one there. I can see Adam Scott's never played this golf course before. There's got to be a reason that these guys don't play these golf courses. They just something with their eye that doesn't suit them. And you often find it when they do come and play these golf courses, they're absolutely awful.
Yeah, I just it. I suppose it partly depends on the player, I guess. I mean, Adam Scott is pretty experienced. He's done pretty well on many courses around the world. But there could be a reason.
No, but I mean, yeah. I'm trying. There was an event earlier in the year, and one of the big guys had never ever played it, and then he missed the cut. I can't remember what it was. One of the big. It was like Cantlay or someone up there. Never played that golf course before and missed the cut. I just think there's a reason behind it that they never come out and see these places personally. I'm just a little bit wary of them. I do like Scott. Like you say, you can get it done on a lot of golf courses, but I just have that in the. I have that in the back of my head. There's a little niggling thing that. There must be a reason why he's never played here before.
So that's 7Ks, which I feel that this week the eights has a lot less golfers than normal, and I think there's more in the sixes. But the 7K is usual large amount of golfers, so I'm not going to name them all. What I'll do, Jack, is I'll name a couple I'm interested in first, and then you can do your usual round robin. I don't think this has surprised many people, particularly Alex Morley, Lucas Herbert, Ryan Fox, Thomas Detry, and there's a couple down the bottom there. Might take a punt purely on the British thing with Ewan Ferguson as well. But I mean, I can make a case for lots of them here. I don't want to steal all of your picks, though, so that'll do for me at the moment.
Favorite guy is probably Gary Woodland at 7,600. Just playing really well at the minute, gaining a lot of strokes on the approach recently. He ranks 11, 10th, sorry, in my model this week. So yeah, like to see that. Has played this golf course before, come 30th here last year. Bagala is a very interesting one. I mean, I do think this is a place that you can bomb and spray it off of the tee like he does. I'm just intrigued by him.
If
I'm going to see what.
the weather turns, would you play him then?
No.
Nah.
No. If the weather doesn't turn, at the ownership that I'm currently seeing, he intrigues me. He offers so much upside. It's unbelievable. I like Smalley and Rye, like yourself there, Mark. I like Ryan Fox. This course will suit Ryan Fox's eye down to, down to the ground. He's a bomber off the tee as well, Ryan Fox. Been playing quite well recently. He's been playing a lot of PGA Tour events, major championships. He's kind of finishing middle of the pack, which I think is fine. I think he's probably better than a lot of this field here anyway. So I do like Ryan Fox. Eric Cole, I like, but he's a risky one because he's never seen this place before. Kurt Kitayama, if you're playing GPPs, he's a very boom bust guy potential. Come second here last year, so he's certainly someone I think you could probably play in GPPs, but you have to be very wary that that could go wrong very, very quickly with Kurt Kitayama. I like Alexander Bjork, DP World Tour star there. Recent finishes 8th, 9th, 6th, 29th, 4th, 4th, 14th. Played here in 2021, finished 26th here. Then gaining a lot of strokes on the approach at the minute. So, yep, I do like him. Putnam's
He
another
also,
one.
Alexander Bjork last week, I think he ended up finishing pretty decently, but he had a pretty awful first round. And then the last three, he just absolutely caught up. I know because I was playing him, and he was the most expensive player.
I think I heard Tom Jacobs say something about Bjork actually, saying that he tends to have one of them rounds in him where he just blows up. So you have to be a bit wary maybe of him, but I do quite like him. I mean that form there, it speaks for itself, and the strokes gained on the approach recently has been very good to see. I'll probably play both the Højgaards, Rasmus and Nicolai. They're both bombers off the tee. Nicolai's the one that's not in the best of form, but he has been playing a lot on the PGA Tour, whereas Rasmus has been playing on the DP World Tour, but he did win last week, Rasmus. So yeah, don't mind seeing that. Seabez, I play, burned me last time out, but I'm quite happy to go back to him. He was 16th here last year. Good to see that. Any more down here that I can give a shout? I mean, there's a few. Patrick Harrington, I think the guy I make the cut. I'm telling you now, he'll make the cut. Two-time Open winner. Seen this place a few times. Missed the cut last year. 18th, though, the year before that, and 9th the year before that. His recent form, 18th. He won on the senior tour there. 27th, second. He's been making a lot of cuts. So yeah, I don't mind Paddy the Baddy down there. And Garrick Higgo actually is playing a lot better golf at the minute. He's made two cuts on the trot, which I like to see. Gaining strokes off the tee, which is good to see as well. He's a bit of a bomber off the tee. The only thing is he has missed back-to-back cuts here. Did come 26th in 2020 though. But yeah, probably rounds it out for me. I do like the 7K range this week. There's a lot of guys here I like.
Yeah, me too. And I think it allows you to pay for more of those. If you just, I'm happy to fade most of the eights as well. And obviously, I think it allows you to do that. Okay, sixes. I've got some crazy plays in the sixes this week. I have a funny feeling that's
Billy
wrong.
Horschel
Sorry.
down here at 6'9".
Well, has he got there yet? Because he had trouble with his car, didn't he? Did
Oh, did
you
he?
see about that?
No.
Yeah. Apparently, he'd hired a car from 6T or something. I think that's the one that Tom Brady advertises. And apparently, they refused him to let him have the car because they don't rent cars to professional sportsmen.
All right, but they're
That's a new policy or something. So,
advertised by
yeah,
Tom Brady.
so presume you got a lift from someone. Yeah, who else are you interested down there?
No, go on. You give us your 6Ks, and I'll give you a
Okay,
run.
so I've just realized something that the ones I've marked are all just are not marked right. Okay, so I've got a few, Luke Donald, Jimmy Walker, they come out well. Pavon as well, stats-wise. Do you want to know my craziest player I'm playing this week, though?
Go on then.
He's a 6K player called Bio Kim.
Oh God.
He's got fantastic form on the Asian tour, basically. Got no idea how that translates to this. But, down here, as is Justin Walters as well, both got fantastic form. Stats-wise, they're never going to pop in a model because you don't really have the stats for them. Yeah, if you want to play two really low players, Justin Walters and Bio Kim.
Interesting.
Follow that.
I'll give mine out in the newsletter tomorrow. There's no point in me giving them out on the
Yeah,
show.
no, it's local. There's my really sexy sixes. You can't get much sexier than a guy called Bio Kim.
I will give you the five sexy sixes that you can use. They've been on fire lately, actually. Just yeah, just I mean, making a lot of like four or fives with them, which is just. You're getting four guys from the 6K range. I think it's just yeah, it's fantastic, really.
If I could make a suggest to anybody who actually listens to us and actually does bets as well, I would say look at the sexy sixes or anybody else we talk about in the show and those sixes, and do some sort of accumulators and sort of Yankees and
Yeah,
patents and things like that with
top
them
20, top 30
to make
bets
the
or something.
cut, to make the cuts, top 40s, top 30s, all those sorts of things. Because I think, well, I mean, a record speaks for itself on this stuff. So, sadly, though, we can't make any lineups, Jack.
Well, we could, but we have to
We
just
could, we
sort
just have to tell you what's in them.
of. Well, I've got DK up, so I can do a lineup. Should we do a
Okay.
Scheffler and a
Cantlay?
Shetland? Yeah.
Yeah.
That leaves us with $7,050 per player to
Okay,
watch.
so I need to choose, because you're giving away, you're not giving away any of your sixes, are you? So I need to choose somebody.
No, got him.
Go for Pavon at 6-8.
6-8. Yeah, he's in. That gives us 7,133 on average.
Okay, so we need a 7K job, don't we?
Well, I did like Higo.
Yep. You can put Higo in. Then Cebes is 7-2.
We're up to 7-2 now, so we can get Cebes in.
Yep.
I did like Putnam. Oh, Putnam's 7-3. That's annoying.
Yeah. There's some other good ones there. Patrick Harrington 7-1. See, if you're going to. If you drop Pavon to somebody really low like Justin Walters or Bio Kim, then you can get up to some better players, obviously.
Right, let's put Kim in then. Bio Kim.
He's 6,000.
Well, he's 6,000 dead flat. So that gets
Yep.
up to 8,000 if we did this. So we could have Corey Connors, Smalley, Rye.
Exactly. Ryan Fox, Woodland.
Yeah, so many you could do. There's quite a lot of options you could do with that.
Yeah. Yeah, but you need that really low sixer to make that viable.
Yes. Shall we try and do the chalky 9K build quickly?
Yeah, try and see if you can get three of them in.
Let's do Hatton, Fowler, and Fleetwood, shall we?
Okay.
That leaves us at 7,166, so about
Oh, well,
down here.
so we're in the same place again.
Yeah, we could always take
Maybe
one out.
take one out, yeah.
Take Fowler out. Maybe so that takes us back to 7,750. This is a proper cash build now, I tell you. We put
Then you
Aaron
can have
Rye in
like
it.
Woodland and Ryan Fox or something like that.
But yeah, I'd say put Aaron Rye in it, Ryan Fox. Leaves us 7,850 with two players to find still. Adam Scott. Do we think Adam Scott will make the cut? I know he's not played
Yeah,
much golf.
well.
We'll stick him in, and that leaves us, that drops us back down to 7-6, so we can get Fergala, Harman, Woodland.
Yeah, plenty of options there.
Yeah.
By the way, Adam Scott, you say about he's not played before, but statistically, he looks fantastic last 32
yeah,
rounds.
Yeah.
Weighted. And he's a you know, long off the tee as well.
Just before we do go quickly, I just want to try and do something in the 8K range. Just to...
yeah, no, I was going to say we've missed out the 8Ks pretty much in all of this. Other than that, Adam yeah. Scott there.
Let's well, I like Rosie.
Yeah.
What was he? 8-7. Stick him in. Justin Thomas, maybe, in case he finds the game.
Can do. I'm happy with like Connors or Scott.
All right, let's take Thomas out then. Let's put Connors in this one, at 8,000 with Justin Rose. I was going to try and come back up to 9, or maybe the 10s. Should we take Xander in this one?
Yeah, can do.
And then that leaves 7-6-3.
Back around Ryan Fox, Gary Woodland, Thiegler, Doug Kim sort of area.
Which, fine, that's quite a nice. I don't mind this build so far.
Yeah.
We like Bjork. He's 7-3. This is him in. So it takes 7-8. We could stick out. Let's just stick Adam Scott in this lineup, and we're down to 7-5.
Ryan Fox again.
Yeah, I like. Yeah. I mean, that's a great lineup. I like that lineup a lot.
Yeah, I don't see I'm going to play masses of any of those 8Ks, just the way the lineups are working out.
Yeah.
All the players you think have a real chance of winning, they're all at the top, and there's just lots of quality players at the top, so the more we can get in, the better.
It's a way to get different.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, definitely. If you look at the... also, I think I've done my ownership, quickly get that on screen, I did my ownership analysis today, assuming his ownership we know at the moment are correct. And I think it was the lower 7Ks are by far the least owned per player,
yeah.
as it were.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going down there with a couple of players, then you're automatically different.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's it. It's a bit of a truncated one today, but I think with the sort of technical issues and everything that we've had. but still loads of good information there. I've actually quite enjoyed just chatting about it rather than actually moving the screen around at the same time. Definitely makes it easier doing this job. Anyway, Jack, any final thoughts before next week?
Well, we got Kurt on, as you've already mentioned, from Rump Your Sports. So that's going to be real good fun next week. Can't wait for that. Hopefully we sort all the audio issues out by then. I'm pretty sure we will, but it'll be fine. Newsletter, as I said, out tomorrow as per usual. I have the Open Championship newsletter out the week after. I'm away next Friday, but I will be here for the Open Championship. And I am going to try and get the bulk of the 3M Open newsletter done. I will take my laptop with me on holiday for all of you.
Wow, there's dedication.
I'm a degenerate. My wife's going to hate me, but hey, she already does.
She already does, yeah. It's like you beat me to it.
So, yeah, that's it. Oh, newsletter will be out tomorrow. You find me on the Twitter sphere at Jack Humphrey DFS. Oh, we are also on the Threads thing on Instagram in case Elon decides to nuke Twitter at some point, which, you know.
When you say in case, do you mean when?
Yeah, well, when he decides to nuke Twitter, we are on the Threads Instagram app at PFD Show. So if you want to head over there, you can find all our content there. Get in the Discord as well. Like, there's literally... Oh, we've got a question. We're answering it.
Yeah, come back to that.
I put showdown calls in there all the time. And the last 2 weeks, one of the days, I mean, I've cashed pretty much every day because I've been playing double ups a lot in showdowns now. But two of the days in the last 2 weeks, I've the calls that I put in, have just, one of the players in there has nuked the slate. So get signed up. Just to say, get involved. It's completely free at the minute.
Yeah. Okay, the question is from Scope. He says, which sites do you use for ownership projections?
Rick Rungard.
Yeah. By the way, the initial of ownership projections on this week's Rick Rungard, I'm not convinced, are as accurate as they have been previously.
No. This is Tuesday, so take it with a pinch of salt about the weather.
Yes, indeed. And to be honest with you, with almost all golf projections, I think it's quite hard to get the record. Kurt mentioned about it when he last time he was on the show. He said, well,
I mentioned about it during the year. I said, I can't remember what event it was. One of these elevated events where it was projecting Rahm was going to be absolutely like way overowned. And it ended up balancing itself out. They all ended up coming in on the same, like all the 10K guys ended up coming in around the same. So it,
Yeah, so I wouldn't, I personally wouldn't put too much sort of weight, for better phrase, into ownership projections for golf on golf anyway. What I would say though is, generally speaking, the highest price, the highest owned golfers are around 25%, generally speaking.
Yeah.
If you really like a golfer, have him in 30% of your lineups, 40% of your lineups.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day,
if it's a low,
If you think that golfer's going to win, play that golfer.
Yeah, and when it's lower down, lower priced ones, they're all generally around 5% or 3% or something like that, generally speaking. Again, you play 10% of that golfer, you're way ahead of the field.
Yeah.
So
I said this earlier in the year. I played, I can't remember the event. I told you about it earlier, Mark. I put in the core. It was Rahm, Homer, and some random 6K guy. I can't remember the name of the 6K guy. Rahm won the event. Homer come second.
Yeah,
that was the core. Like,
yeah,
you know, that is, I gave you a core there. Like, you know, if you think that golfer's gonna win, I really don't care. And I always state this in the attack plan, like, sometimes I'll just play both two of them guys up the top. I don't care about the ownership. I'll just, like Mark says, just get different elsewhere if you want to get different.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, golfing ownership works in bands. So like, You need to put 35-40% in to be over the field at the top end, and you only need to be 10% to be owned over, generally speaking. Every now and again there comes a golfer out in the sort of 7Ks, which, you know, because of the way the lineup construction goes, 15-20% people end up on it. However, that's why we say, that's why we build these lineups, to sort of look and see where players end, where we end up a lot of players. I wouldn't It's nice to have, it's not for me, it's nice to have ownership projections beforehand, but they don't particularly influence me in any way or change the way I do things. Except if something really stands out. Like, really inexplicable.
No, agreed.
Yeah, cool. Okay, well, that's it. Next week, it should be a quad box next week. Fingers crossed, everybody's back, etc. And all that. And as we usually sign off, we will see you next Tuesday.
Cheers, guys.